Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Now you're listening to Gamertag Radio, episode 1018. This is your host, Danny Pena, podcasting live from New York City to the world. How's everybody doing? First of all, thank you for listening to the podcast. Make sure to spread the word, subscribe, just search for Gamertag Radio on any podcast app. And if you get the chance, please post a review. That will help us out for people to discover us. So keep it up. And thank you for all the support. All right, so on this episode, we have a special interview with Marcus Lehto, president and game director at V1 Interactive. He's going to be talking about disintegration once again, but this time it's all about the single player campaign. During our conversation, we talked about his studio, his team. How was it working on this on the single player campaign, everything. It's really, really cool. Great conversation. It's like about 25 to 30 minutes long. And I hope everybody has a great time listening to this. Please go to our Discord, discord.gg/GTR. That's discord.gg/GTR. And let us know. Post your comments and feedback through there too. We'll definitely read it. And who knows? We might even read it during the a future recording of Gamertag Radio. All right, so if you would like to be part of fan mail, this is how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Make sure to hit us up, fanmail@gamertagradio.com, or call us or Discord once again. And we will use your content, your voice messages, email. We'll read it or play on the podcast. And that will help us also to create better content because you guys, the listeners, always come with some great, great questions for us, man. So keep it up. The next episode, we're definitely going to have voicemails and emails for GTR. So stay tuned on that. All right. So I'm going to play my interview with Marcus Lehto, and once we come back here, we're going to wrap it up.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right. Hey, this is Marcus Lehto. I'm the president and creative director at V1 Interactive, and I'm excited to start talking more about disintegration, in particular the story campaign that we'll be talking a lot more about.
Yeah, Marcus, let's start with this, man. So I'm used to seeing a lot of the companies always showing their campaign, and then they talk about a little bit more about the multiplayer. Why you guys decided to show the multiplayer first and then talk about the campaign?
That's a good question. It's because primarily because, you know, multiplayer, while it's let me back up a little bit. We started out with campaign. Absolutely. That's where the roots of the game were formed. Mm-hmm. We started building the multiplayer component as well soon thereafter. The multiplayer component is a much more complex organism with regards to the moving parts in it because it's not only got a variety of different crews, each with their own role in combat, each gameplay mode has its own gameplay mechanics associated with it. We're all with the networking online and all of those components working seamless together on all the platforms. We knew we needed to get out there with a tech beta, start talking about the multiplayer component of the game, and actually stress test the multiplayer side of the game to verify that A, it works in the first place, and that and that we could find any and the egregious issues that we might run into later on. So it was a really valuable time for us to get the game out there in the wild for a short period of time and get as much analytical data out of it as we possibly could, which was super useful for us to bring back into the game for revision as we move forward and finish the game out. And that affected both multiplayer as well as the campaign side of things, because they're kind of like mutually tied together.
Yeah, and I like it in the background. I see this Grayson right there, and I see also Master Chief in the background.
Yeah, that's my original sketch of the Master Chief from way back when. Like, yeah,
that's pretty cool.
I still hold on to. I love it.
Yeah, man.
I like that the fact that my my old colleagues at Bungie were really nice enough to frame that for me and give that to me out after I departed Bungie.
Yeah, man. So what were the things that you learned from making games in the past and maybe you just wanted to do some new things for this one, especially in the campaign. Was there anything that you learned from working on past projects and working on this one?
Oh, yeah. From working at Bungie, starting on the Myth, the Fallen Lords gameplay franchise, and then kicking off Halo throughout its entire stretch with Bungie, we learned a lot. I mean, even into Destiny. After I left Bungie, I wanted to explore doing something very different that might take me a little out of my own comfort zone, just to really stretch and allow me to learn more too. I love learning. Like, even at my age, I love learning more every day, and building a new studio, building a game that I couldn't find on the shelves anywhere, that I would be excited about, really putting a lot of effort into and trying something new, got me really excited. So one of the great things about having the many decades of building Halo and other games, and behind me is bringing a lot of that knowledge along with me into building V1 as a studio. Not only in just how we function as a group, but how we build games, how we go about, just the simple things like how we function through a week on like tackling tasks or landing milestones or, like any other production thing. Like, it's not as easy as one might think. There's a lot of moving parts to making a game, and it's very, very complex. So it's nice to have individuals like myself, my business partner, and others who have been in the industry for a long time, bring that expertise with them to make a studio like V1 happen.
Yeah, I know during your presentation, you talked about a little bit about your studio. You have a lot of the veterans that have been in the gaming industry for a long time, and also the new people that just started working in the gaming industry. So how important was to have both the new and the old school developers and just part of the team that been working on this game, man?
Oh, dude, it was super important to me. When I first started making the game, it was just me and two students working on the game, and we were here in this office. Like, this is a teeny little 90 square foot office, so it was me at my desk and a card table right here instead of the keyboard, and two students working on the game together, and my dog sitting on the ground farting the entire afternoon, like it was ridiculous, like that we were all working together, like, but just having this great time because they were learning so much. They bring an energy to it that, like, it's not like I lack energy when it comes to building games. I love making games. Like, we get to do this for a living, which is freaking phenomenal. But they bring like this understanding, this deep, like a passionate understanding of what the most current things that are happening within the gaming industry, which is really important for me to recognize and for us to integrate within the studio. So we've got kind of a good healthy mix of, I'd say it's about 3/4 vets and 1/4 brand new to the industry individuals who like really mesh well together and create a really, I think, effective team as a result.
All right, let's go with the campaign, man. So tell us a little bit about the campaign.
So You got to play the multiplayer side of it, yes. Which was, you got to experience the frenetic, great, like, action side of it, which is like, it can be overwhelming. It can be really hilariously fun. And it's just a really great, high action, high, experience kind of thing. Whereas campaign, while it definitely has this high action kind of octane kind of elements within it, like really awesome experiences, you get to take it at your own pace. You get to take some breathers at times. So you have the opportunity to explore a little bit more and take your time before you engage in combat. I'm talking about now just, of course, the player experience side of things, about what the difference is between the multiplayer and the campaign components. But aside from that experience, one of the biggest things, and this is what I started with in the very first place when it came to Disintegration, is the fiction and the story of these characters within this world and the things that they are dealing with in this world and how they have the will to survive and to adapt and get to know one another on their own terms. And that was really important for me, to build a story where we could tell those character stories and reveal who they are as something other than just like this typical gameplay character, that these are real flesh and blood characters.
Now, besides, because I really had a great time playing the multiplayer, also the beta, that was really cool too. But I learned a lot about the game. Now, when you go now to the campaign, is this more of like tutorial, or it's more about learning the characters in the game, or maybe even both?
Oh, it's definitely both. While the beginning stage game is made to, ease you into the world of Disintegration, allow you to, get familiar with your grav cycle first and foremost, and then understand how important that ground crew is to your success. And then understand as you go step by step through that, how you can use them tactically and how important they are to the success of your mid to later game experience. And it's not just that, but then how you choose to invest in those ground units as you move through the campaign, because we'll be out in the field in the midst of combat. And you can go into scan mode and search not only just for enemies and other things within the world, but for salvage and things you can pick up, things you take back to the player hub after you've completed a campaign mission. And you use that to level up your characters. And then you find upgrade chips within the campaign, and you can use those to slot up and chip up your campaign characters, even your campaign graph cycle, so you can choose where you want to beef up, like armor or recharge ability or cooldown ability and that kind of thing within the campaign. And that's super important for you to like invest in them, especially when it comes to the mid to late game, where it gets really, really crazy challenging.
I know in the multiplayer there's different types of vehicles you could use and everything, right? Now for the campaign, is it the same thing, or it's more of just like, we're going to focus on just one group and that will be from the beginning to the end of the campaign?
No, it's different every mission. You're given a different grab cycle in every single campaign mission. Mm-hmm. With a different loadout, and each mission you'll also be given a different set of ground characters. There's a small pool of ground characters that we get to know throughout the campaign, and that they're an integral part of the story. And in some missions, two of them will come along with you. In some missions, four of them will come along with you. And we'll change that up from mission to mission, dependent upon the kind of things that were the goal of that mission, the mood and tone of that mission. There's even some missions where you go it alone for a short period of time, where it's just you and the grab cycle. Then on the flip side, there are missions when you got all four of them with you, and then you also meet up with other allies within the world who join you as a mini army throughout particular stretches of that mission.
Yeah, I know the they sent us a B-roll of the campaign, I believe.
It's that was like from one of the mid-mission games.
Mid-mission. So I plan to post a couple of the video for our listeners. Now, can you explain a little bit about that campaign, a little bit about that?
So that's one of the mid parts of our mission of the game. It's where you are taking your characters into the heart of the Rayon controlled character territory. The Rayon are the enemy characters. I talked a little bit about them this morning during the group discussion. Mm-hmm. When humanity looked at integration as a means of survival, that was great for a short period of time. Until then, stratification within those who had integrated occurred. And some of these people who just found like, oh, I love who I am as an integrated robot, decided to say, I don't want to be a human anymore. I don't want to have anything to do with humanity. And they took this post-humanistic trajectory and left everything about humanity behind. And they became this new militarized form called the Rayon. That's who we're fighting, because not everybody agreed with that who had been integrated, and some broke away, some were captured and interrogated, and then you play a set of characters, or you play Romer along with the other set of characters who have broken away and defected and now become outlawed by the Rayon. And so we play this group of outlaws who are sympathetic with humanity, the naturals who are still alive and healthy on the planet, who are being hunted by the Rayon. And so in this particular mission, you are asked to go find an artifact. I'm not going to give too much away about the story right here, but it's one of the original creators of the integration program whose brain is and its armored shell has been hidden away and absconded by the Rayon or being used by them, and your job is to go in and try to steal it back because there are many valuable secrets that can be found within. And so you're doing that, but you're being dropped right into the heart of Rayon controlled territory in this urban city zone. So the mission that you'll see in that video is very frenetic. There's a lot of activity going on throughout that entire mission. Because there are enemies around every single corner in that particular part of the world. So it's highly dangerous, and you're given a light grab cycle with a marksman rifle. You've given a ground crew with a set of abilities that are really good against other masses of ground units, and it's up to you to use them tactically to make it through that mission.
Yeah, and I know you showed us the trailer too, which is really cool. Of the campaign.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. I'm super proud to show that off.
Yeah, it was really cool. Now, this is something I'm very curious. Like, how was the process of getting like the right people, voice actors to play these characters in the game, man? Like, was it a long process? Like, what was it that you guys were looking for when it comes to like voice actors?
It was, because you know, one of the things that, like, Danny, I wanted to focus on was making sure that each one of these characters felt very human. And that they weren't genetically modified super soldiers or anything like that. These are just normal folks like you and me. And I wanted to make sure that the actors that we found to play them brought that kind of human element to them. So fortunately, I was working with talent agencies in L.A., done that for many, many years in casting the games for the Halo projects and such. We were able to like tap right back into that and find really fantastic talent that that could embody each one of these characters. Mm-hmm. And I think they did a stellar job of bringing them to life.
Yeah. So you created the game, you had a prototype and everything. And how did the story came about from your team? Was that also took a long time to just write everything for the
campaign? It did. It took a long time because I had a large part of the backstory, you know, constructed prior to us actually launching into and developing the total game. We really needed to then design and what that story was that we were going to tell through the campaign. And that's a hard thing to do for games. Like for movies, you write a script and you submit that script and you go execute it. And there you go. You've got your movie. For a game, it's a very different process. You can write the script idea, but then you have to build a game, a set of campaign missions that are a really interesting roller coaster ride for the player to go through. And so the script and the missions all kind of have to remain fluid for some period of time while you rearrange things and say, no, this mission really needs to go here, which affects the story here. And so you have to be super fluid in the early stages of development of that story until we were comfortable and confident to lock things down and then go into really writing, you know, like the final dialogue for them. But initially that script was super thick. Like we're super ambitious when it came to writing the script. We're like, holy crap, if we actually like turn this into cinematics, it's going to be 2.5 hours worth of watching a movie with a little bit of a game in it. So we scaled it down and we got it to the point where we were really excited about the meat of that story that we wanted to tell.
Yeah, I have two more questions. So one is, how long is the campaign, man? If you don't mind me asking.
It depends on your play style, of course. Like we'd been playing it actively, like we were talking about earlier, at home now that we're all working from home. Mm-hmm. For your average to like good players, it's going to take about 8 to 10 hours. On your normal difficulty. We're finding now, we just got data this afternoon, if you play on outlaw mode, which is the hardest mode, it can take you up to 15 hours, but that's how you want to play it. And and I prefer to play it on Maverick is like our hard mode, and then outlaw is our legendary, like ridiculous mode. It's hilariously hard, but it brings a whole new, all new challenge to it. Now that said, you could play it on story mode too, which is totally cool if that's what you want to do and just experience the game and the story itself without a whole lot of effort trying to get through each one of the combat scenarios.
Yeah, I mean there's going to be people that just love just the story, they don't care about the difficulty, and there's some that they want to challenge, so hey, it's up to them, right?
Yeah,
so
heck yeah. And I can't tell you how many people have been just elated with the idea that there's finally a story campaign to jump into and a universe that they can kind of immerse themselves in.
Yeah. Now
that's always been really important to me when it came to development of any game.
Yeah. Yeah. There's people that just love to go straight to the multiplayer. They don't even bother playing the campaign, but
that's true.
I'm one of those that I love to play the campaign first and then I'll go to the multiplayer. So for you as a gamer, and which one you like to start first, man, the story or the multiplayer?
I always go into the story first. I mean, that's where I find, like, I understand what the characters are about. I understand what the world is about. I understand a lot more context to how things work. And like, if you do that, and then you go in and play multiplayer, you'll see why the multiplayer crews actually make fictional sense in the game and how they're woven into the fabric of the universe.
Yeah, and I agree with that because I feel I'm connected more with these characters too, man. So I'll learn more about them. I'm like, oh, I know why this is happening. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So
I appreciate that. Thank you,
Dan. Yeah, yeah. It's true. Now, to wrap this up, campaign, there's not going to be levels in the multiplayer. This is like totally separate, right?
Yeah, totally separate. The multiplayer levels themselves, while they use a lot of the elements of the campaign, like this, the palettes, the stylistic and thematic palettes, they are their own thing. They're designed specifically for those multiplayer game modes.
All right, cool. Marcus, so you want to mention people want more information about the game, where it's like the best play to go, and any release date, like we need to know when this game is coming out. You know,
so well, that's going to be released TBD coming up soon.
All right.
As far as the information there, but you can go to disintegration.com or you can go to v1interactive.com or the Private Division website. All will take you links to the actual game and more information about the game.
Yeah, cool. Well, one more thing, man. I was online when the beta came out, right? And I think it was like, I can't remember, it was a picture of when the beta launched and it was like a group of you like celebrating at the studio and seeing the reaction where everybody was like playing for the first time. How was that moment for you guys that been working for this game for like so long?
Oh man, my God. We were terrified and excited at the same time. We were like, is this actually going to work? Is everything just going to blow up in front of our face? And that's what we were worried about. But that's why we were doing the tech beta in the first place, is to just make sure that things will work and stress test it and figure out like how to load the servers and that kind of stuff. So when we actually saw people get in and play, I think it was the first time I'd actually taken a deep breath for real.
And
like felt some amount of comfort within me, because I was so nervous about people playing the game and it working, and that people like actually enjoyed it, which was just a great cherry on top.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool seeing that picture, man. It was awesome to see them, man. And I could tell that it was something really important for you guys, man. So congratulations, man. Can't wait for the game. Sure.
Thank you, Danny. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and anybody said listening to this, man, make sure to hit him up, because you're very open on Twitter. So you want to mention your Twitter if you want to follow you?
You can follow me on at game_fabricator, game fabricator on Twitter. I love to chime in there and ask me questions, anything. I love to talk to people.
Yeah, definitely, man. All right, Marcus, man, thanks a lot, man, for the interview, man. Thank you for taking your time, man.
My pleasure. All right. Stay healthy, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so that was my interview with Marcus, man. That was a great, great conversation. But you, listener, tell us your thoughts about the single-player campaign, about the interview. Let us know. Hit us up, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. That's fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or give us a call, 76-273-7-GTR, or join our Discord, discord.gg/GTR. That's discord.gg/GTR. We'll play it on the podcast. We'll read it from all those places to the podcast, the future episode. So keep it up. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you for listening to episode 1018 here at Gamertag Radio. This is Danny. Until next time, I'm out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.